All right, guys, welcome to the 31st episode. Yes, the 31st episode of the Red or Dead podcast. It feels like we've been going forever, not because it's been that long, but because how badly our team's been playing. But before we get onto that, let's welcome the usual crew. We'll start with Maria and find out, how's your week gone so far? How's it been like being not out of lockdown, but semi out of lockdown?
It's been a really good week. I've got to be honest, I haven't actually done anything that is in the new rules. So I haven't experienced... It is very disappointing. I'm really sorry. in fact, I've kind of gone the opposite way. I haven't worked out this week. Haven't been to the gym. Haven't been out to eat. Haven't been in a non-essential shop. But I have been in Tesco and in Lidl, and it was really quiet. It wasn't full of people because people have been going there for like fun. So...
do you feel a bit more liberated?
Mentally liberated. Yeah, and actually what's been quite nice is I've been able to make plans for stuff that I'm going to do. Do have plans over the next few weeks, which is quite exciting. I'm looking forward to going out and eating in the cold. I might even go to the gym. In Soho with the rats. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
All right, well, Drace... So Dre, how's your week been? I know you're one of those ones who's always out everywhere, and I've seen you've been somewhere, so don't lie to us now. So what have you been up to?
Yeah, much love to the good people at Hard Rock Cafe, but that's down. So have a lovely meal, and I appreciate that.
When are you going to take us to the Hard Rock Cafe?
You can't do any shout-outs
on this unless we all
This isn't your Instagram platform.
Much love to...
Don't go to a cafe. The food is overpriced and it tastes
like crap. Wow. No, he didn't mean that.
Now put that on the show.
Lies and propaganda. We're going to move that bit out.
He can't. He was going to send a recording to Hard Rock and say, oh, look, I gave you a shout out.
Thanks, Hard Rock. Wink for the love. No, it was actually good. It was good to go out.
When did you go out of interest, Andre? When did you go to this Hard Rock Cafe?
Still within the rules.
Yeah, he 100% did not get back in time for the first half of the game.
Yeah. No, I got back in time.
It was radio silence until half time. Yes. And then he read a couple of tweets and he was like, oh, my name was rubbish. And he was just thinking that someone else had told him. So that's the kind of plan.
The truth be told, I missed 4 minutes of the game.
No, you missed way more than that. Not a fan of Liverpool.
I'm checking now.
You need to be a fan of Liverpool FC.
That's not true. KFC.
Okay, right. 8:11 just turned.
Wow. Oh. Okay.
Even that is not true.
I can explain, but the burgers were lovely.
And, thank goodness. Yeah, I mean,
the steak was lovely. Mwah. Thank you very much. No, it was good to go out. Yeah. It was freezing outside though.
That's nice.
And it's weird to be around people.
Oh, of course, it's outside. It's outside, aren't you? So yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that ain't the one, Chief. So I'm looking forward to June, that's for sure.
How about you, Sookie, what have you been up to this week?
I've been making use of it. I've not had a drink. I've not been to the pub yet. But I have hit the gym every day, which is good.
So I'm kind of excited.
It's been good. I did try and book a haircut today, and I thought I was being super organized and super early because I wanted to get it in 2 weeks' time. And then I rang through and she was like, oh, so this woman's next free appointment slot is 1st of May. And I was like, no.
Wow. 1st of May. 1st of May
is 2 weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just over.
I was hoping to come to London.
When you want to have your hair done.
I've just realised I have done something.
I had my eyebrows done yesterday. I knew that.
There you go.
I knew that.
That's it.
That's perfect. That's amazing. Yeah.
Looking good. Perfect.
And first thing you notice.
You know what I mean? In fact, it's so normal, you forgot you did it. You just felt so normal, you forgot you even went. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What about you, Cass? What have you been up to?
Nothing for me either. I think...
Grafting.
It's hard. Yeah, definitely. But it's hard to think of this as a proper lifting of the lockdown. It's just still too many restrictions, I think. And there's... And yeah, the weather just turned as soon as they said, oh, you can go outside. It's like, right, I want to stay inside now anyway. So yeah, it's not felt like any different from a couple of weeks ago. But I think May 17th, I'm looking forward to that one.
You know what? Can I just give a massive shout out to those four girls on ITV on Monday at 8:17 a.m. having a pint at the local pub?
Wow.
Well, that is, honestly, I mean,
they have a license. If you
give us a shout out like that, it means it means we need to see a picture of them and everything.
We need to. Yeah.
See why he's doing that.
Yeah, why those specific ones? There was a guy who apparently camped out outside the pub so he could be the first one.
Dre, you need to get in touch with them. You might be able to sort out something.
I don't know if you guys agree on this one, but my take on this, where people like, you know, doing some type of countdown to get into the pub, is like proper sad. I don't know what's wrong with your life if you're there so fucking early, yeah, at opening time, and then you can't wait to get a pub.
Language.
Yeah, done now.
That's normally me that swears, but now he's done it.
It's done now. We already sold that
Hard Rock
already.
As soon as Hard Rock got this,
I was like, oh, you know what?
Someone make a copy of this recording, because I've got a feeling it's going to get mysteriously lost. Yeah. Well, the file was corrupted.
I'll word in Cass's bits. I just sound a bit gravelly. No, but don't you guys think do you agree that it's a bit over the top with this pub countdown?
Yes and no.
Go on, Ellie, sorry.
Sorry, you go, Cass. No, Cass.
I was going to say, if you're 19, 20, and you've been in lockdown for a year, basically, I can understand people being super keen to get... Like, in Soho, all the pictures is of, like, basically young people, teens and early 20s, just going out and going completely mad. And it was predictable, but I can understand it. If you're that young and you've just had that time taken away from you, you're going to go mad.
It depends on your personal situation, right? It depends how bad the last 4 months have been. Like, this is going to have hit some people quite hard. And Cass is right. When you're that young as well, you haven't really had a chance to sort of properly experience your sort of late teens, your early 20s and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, for a lot of people, I think it's sad if you just want to go there to drink, if that's what you want to do. But I think a lot of them, it's where they meet their friends. It's the idea of socializing again, more so than the fact that they're getting a pint per se. So if you're going there to drink, I do think that's a bit strange. But if you're going there just because you want to socialize
I can understand that. On your own, then that's a different problem. If you're like, come on, open up, and you're on your own. But even the friends thing, I think that, like, you know, to be honest with you, like, why is that? So, I don't know. Maybe it's a cultural thing that I never.
But not everyone gets invited to Hard Rock Cafe for a freebie every week.
Well, that's different. So, yeah, not everyone.
You've got to see it from other people's point of view.
Not everyone sells the same type of path that I do. But, you know, at the end of the day, I have to learn to be tolerant and accepting of lower class people. No,
what? He's gone there.
This is actually classic Dre, the real Dre coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Are you drinking a pint now?
Put a cigar out, Dre.
He's got Guinness and a cigar on the go.
Yeah. Now, where's my slippers?
Exactly.
In his tweed suit.
In his tweed suit. But in truth, yeah, I just think that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I just found out everywhere I went, people just seemed lighter. I don't know how to describe it. But
Ellie, what did you do for this week?
Oh, okay. I did pretty much, I was in the gym straight away. I was there, pretty much as soon as it opened, the first day I was there. But I was a bit late for the coffee. I didn't realise they closed the bar at 7. So I got there like 7:05 and they're all smiling. Oh, welcome back. And I said, oh, can I have my coffee? We're closed. Oh, that was the thing I was looking forward to the most.
What, so I was like, seven okay. In the morning?
Night, sorry, but the coffee bit closes, but the gym's open till 10, which is good. It's open till 10, which I like that.
Yeah, but
because I normally go quite late anyway.
You went in the gym first thing then, like you said.
No, late. No, I mean, first thing for me is as early as I can, which means like, you know, no, but what?
If you say first thing, that means first thing.
Let me explain. So you can say it like that, but what I'm saying is I went for a run in the morning, right? Yeah, no, first thing, I went for a run in the morning, first thing. Yeah. But I'm saying the earliest opportunity I had to go to the gym, I went. So that's what I meant by that. Mm. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys, for not clarifying.
Yeah. All the exactly listeners right. Anyway. Quite confused there.
Yeah,
they're like, what's going on? What's he mean?
Shuts at 7 in the morning.
Anyway, you'll be happy to know I did get my coffee the next day because I was there on time. So the world was made right again. Haircut yesterday, which was good. Needed that. Just loads of little things, and then next week's start going out about a bit more again. Hopefully events and things will start kicking off, more and more meetings, people are more confident and happy to meet in person as well, which is, I think people are actually trying to do that a bit more now, just because, you know, they can.
You turned so into good. Mr. Robot there.
But yeah, all in really? All. Oh, did I? Yeah. The internet connection went off. Sorry, guys. Around.
You got cheap Wi-Fi there.
Move around. I think it's
go on.
You're turning into Dre now. As if I move around, my Mac doesn't move around. But anyway,
it's your door open. That's
another story.
Yeah, open the door.
To be honest, I might have to. There you go.
I'm telling you.
And Dre, quick question: what have you shifted to Paris Saint-Germain already? It's only yesterday.
Yeah, I'm,
why are you in a Paris?
I'll say 2 weeks ago, I made that prediction that we're going to get top four. We're not going to win the Champions League. Top four, and then Paris was going to win the Champions League. I said that 2 weeks ago on record. Boom.
Might take this a picture to show this switch of allegiance.
He said he's supporting Arsenal this morning. This afternoon.
Didn't he say his favourite player?
Never in my life.
Is an Arsenal
never,
player.
Right. Never in my life would I support Arsenal in my life.
Arsenal have the closest link. Arsenal have the closest link to Paris in France than any other club in England. So I see you're basically supporting the French version of Arsenal because you support Arsenal anyway.
Yeah, right.
Arsene Wenger FC, Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, it's all there.
Because we kind of drifted onto football anyway, we might as well get started, I suppose, guys. But first of all, what I would like to say, obviously, 30 years ago is a tragic day in Liverpool's history where, you know, 96 football fans went to the game and never returned. So we just want to say, obviously, that they're all forever with us and they're always in our hearts. We won't say much more than that, as we're not allowed. But anyway, yeah. Did I dial out again?
It's cutting quite a lot.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
You're
I think my wife...
We got the message. We got the message.
A little bit ropey today.
Yeah, I think is it? Yeah, we got what you said.
Why don't you tell us about the game whilst Ellie fixes his internet?
No, I'm back. I'm back. Anyway, so yeah, the question was no.
I'm going to tell you from 10 minutes on.
Yeah, but I think obviously the first game we played was actually against was Villa, the Villa game at home. It was a big game. So Suki, why don't you tell us about the lineup for our lineup for that game and what you thought about how we handled it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, actually. He brought Milner in, who I think he just wanted some kind of solidity in there, especially like, and also Milner just adds that sort of captain that we're missing on the pitch without Hendo. So I was a bit wary of Milner coming in, to be honest, because I don't think he's been good enough apart from one game in midfield for us this season. But he actually had a really solid game. I thought he played really well, and I actually added more structure and more solidity to our team. So I liked it. Can't remember who else he had in midfield with him. It was him, Fabinho, and who was the third?
It's Genie, wasn't it?
Was it Genie?
Yeah, it was.
It was the same for the Champions League then as well. But up front, he did drop Mane, didn't he? So he played Bobby, Jota and Salah, which I quite liked. I actually think Mane's worse than Bobby season. So and I thought them three played okay. We were all right. I thought, yeah, it was an interesting game. It was we went down, obviously. It was very typical Liverpool from the first half. We were sort of dominating the play. We had a few chances, but we can't seem to score. And then we just let the opposition score from half a chance, from a nothing moment. And it's just very typical of our season so far.
Yeah, I mean, would you say, Cass, that our our front three actually looked better than they did with our traditional front three against Villa, with Jota and Firmino.
I mean, the whole team had more control than they've had recently. We had more possession. We weren't letting in that many chances on the other end. But our main problem, and it has been for a long time, is that final third and creativity. You can have all the possession you want. You can have all the possession in midfield. But unless you're creating chances for someone like Jota, we know he's a good finisher, but he needs chances created for him. And we saw problems in the other games when he's not being given any service. He just becomes a passenger as well. And you can't blame him. It's not his game. He is the fox in the box. So he needs chances created for him. And we haven't got that kind of player. I think we said there's no one in midfield who you would say is a creator, apart from it should be Thiago, but he's just not good enough. I've made my mind up on him. He's not good enough. So we need a number 10, probably as much as we need any other position. But overall, in this particular game, we saw the value of Salah again. I think, you know, his goals have helped us in, you know, quite a few occasions throughout the whole season. But as we saw in the other game, when he's not scoring, we have nothing up front. So it's just, it was a good result. I know you guys are still thinking we're going to finish top four. I don't think so. But, well, I think Dre should tell us about the winning goal and whether that player had a good game or not, because I don't think he had a good overall game, but it also proved that he should be in a different position for us.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think with Trent, I like his fighting spirit. I'm being honest with you. Like, he's not in the same top best of form that he has been in before, but then obviously you have to remember that he's not playing with the same players as he frequently was every week in and week out last season. I feel that he's been a bit more exposed because he doesn't have the protection of Henderson. You know, we have to remember that every cog, all the cogs that are missing, have massive effects on the way that we play. Van Dijk not being there and Gomez not being there, or Matip not being there, doesn't give you that, you know, solid base for you to be able to just keep on attacking, because that's all pretty much a lot of the time you could actually just focus on that more so than defending, because you've got elite defenders behind you. And then even if you are caught out, then you've got Henderson or, you know, informed Genie covering for you as well. And then obviously you've got Fab. So I can't really have a go at Trent, but I do like the fact that he has a fighting spirit. I'm actually seeing new qualities, as definitely more so in the midfield for him being a creator. I'm not really, when he gets stuck on the side and he's just throwing in crosses, which isn't, you know, crossing is elite, but at the end of the day is that it seems like the only person who's just willing to just break their neck to get in there is Jota. And who has a quality to be able to finish with their head.
I don't think Trent is a creator in that sense. I don't think he's a number 10 type. He can't play through balls particularly well or any of that stuff. I think he's a very, very good winger and he can cross. I'd play him out on the wing, but I wouldn't put him in the middle.
I mean, that's where he played his youth team football.
To be honest, he was Steven Gerrard. He was seen as the next Steven Gerrard the whole way through the youth, because that's pretty much the position he plays. And if you ask me, I think I can see a lot of traits that Gerrard has that he has, both in terms of playing ability and in terms of passion. Gerrard played right back to Liverpool as well.
Gerrard could tackle.
But in the Real Madrid game, don't get me wrong. Yeah, obviously. But what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of attributes that you look for in a midfield. I mean, Gerrard's a freak. He's unreal. You know, there's not many players in history that are the level of Gerrard. So you can't use him as like a standard. But what we're saying is, in terms of the type of player...
To be the next Gerrard. What happened to that?
Did we?
Yeah, we bought... Everyone said Naby Keita is going to be the next Gerrard.
No, he was never meant to be the next Gerrard.
How is he the next Gerrard?
He was never meant to be the next Gerrard. He was never meant to be. He was never. No,
that was the pitch.
No, he wasn't. No, he's not. I never said that. I never said that.
I'm going to draw, Ellie.
Okay, Maria, anyway, going back to the game. No, going back to the Villa game.
Was it one of those... Naby Keita, interestingly enough.
What would you say was... What did we do well in that game and what did we do, would you say, badly? Apart from the finishing, because I know we've gone on about our bad finishing. Yes, okay. But was there other aspects of the game you saw that you can see that we're actually improving?
Yeah, I think it was one of the first games in a while where they showed, and I think we've touched on this with Trent, where they showed some fighting spirit, where it felt like they actually wanted to win and they were making an effort to do that. It was still a frustrating game. It was very tense. I was on the edge of my seat for the whole of that game because at one point I thought that's it. It's not going to happen. It looked like it was going to be a draw. I think it was, there wasn't anything particular, you know, I think they played well for the game. They obviously won, but I didn't see anything particularly magical or different that they were doing other than they seemed to have some oomph in them. And I do wonder whether that's because I feel like they kind of knew that the Champions League wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. As much as we all wanted it to, it wasn't going to happen. And they need to now be focusing on the league and getting the top four. Actually, I agree with Cass. I'm not convinced that's going to happen, but I'm sure we'll move on to that. So I think it was the fighting spirit that was the change for me that seemed to be there. But then there were other things that happened in that match that I don't know if we're going to come onto it, but I have to mention it. I know we go on about this. VAR, that decision for me was almost like it killed the game for me after that point, and I kind of lost a bit of hope. I did. And I felt quite annoyed with it because it really, you know, when they start, and Dre, I know you agree with this, when they start getting those lines, and I was saying to Dre, it's like a game of battleships. And I understand it's the rules and so on. But was it a sleeve in the end, they decided? The sleeve? I just thought it was ridiculous. You don't play football with your sleeve. You can't. I just didn't. It just felt like it killed the game and it ruined the mood.
What do you say? And Bobby scored as well, Sookie. So what would you... Exactly. I know you're one of those ones that feel very much... Sookie agrees, I'm sure, with this, is that, you know, that we haven't, and Andre as well, that we haven't been getting the rubber green on a lot of decisions, quite literally. You know, what was your thoughts on that decision, Sookie? Would you say it was hard done by? Or?
I don't blame VAR for this. I blame the rules. The rules are ridiculous. VAR only going by the rules. But the rules, I don't know why they introduced this year to make it the sleeve, because that's just caused so many issues.
Absolutely nonsense.
Every team. It just shouldn't be done on a sleeve. It's just really unfair. Like, look at the body positions of the two players. For me, that just is onside. They need to change rules. They need to change it to the foot. I also just don't like this whole drawing of the lines, because it's not an exact science. As much as I know Cass is going to disagree and talk about the computing, there's still human error in where they decide which frame to use, which part of the ball counts the correct bit to kick the ball. And it's ridiculous. I'm not saying there's an agenda against us, but for me, it's probably because we are Liverpool fans, but for me, any time there's a decision against us, it seems like they spend ages and draw the lines exactly whereas when it's the opposite way and it's a decision for the other team, it's suddenly just a quick one where it's suddenly a random line drawn. Like, I'm picturing back to Virgil's line when he got injured with that Pickford challenge. That was such a quickly drawn line, and it wasn't to the exact edge of the sleeve where sometimes it has been for us. I'm thinking this game, the Fulham game, there are a couple
Leicester,
of other games.
The Leicester game as well,
It's impacting everybody. I think it's just so happened to impact us more than other teams. I don't think that's because of an agenda, but I just think it has, probably because of the way, the type of play we play, where our players are on the edge constantly. I was actually, Bobby just needed that goal as well. I think we needed that goal as well. Just going.
But the amount of time it took for them to disallow that goal, I just think it's ridiculous. You can't wait that amount of time. It just shouldn't take, I don't know how long it took. It was just stupid. It holds up the game as well and the flow of the game. That's not how you play football.
Bobby did a fluffy shot, by the way. He wasn't going to go in anyway. He was lucky to get it in.
Yeah, okay. But what I found really sad was that when it got disallowed, none of the players really reacted. They were like, of course it was disallowed.
Because it's a game. It's the same thing again. Yeah. And sorry to cut you, Ellie. But I'll bring in a bit of what, because I think I was more pissed off with the team and then also with Klopp on Saturday than everyone else, it seemed like. Because I just felt that, one, we shouldn't have been in that position because we should have finished off the game in the first place. So I'll channel my inner Cass. when we shouldn't be actually be put in that position where it's such a close thing. I do think it was good.
I had to remind you about that. You were doing your usual, oh, it's a conspiracy.
I remind you.
And I had to say, calm down. We wouldn't be in this position if.
I'm not going on about the conspiracy. I care about more than just Liverpool. We fell in love with football. If we have a wider discussion about the actual game, and the game is actually being spoilt by, you know, neurotic, you know, eagerly power hungry people that don't seem to understand the game or want the center of attention or want power or leaving an era. Like, you know, the end of the days that when we used to watch Man United play, we used to be like, oh, they're getting extra time or they're getting this thing. But there was still like, it was still like fan chat. But it's when you had, obviously, the referee, I forgot his name, the other day come out and just kind of confirm that type of stuff. And then we've got like these weird decisions with some teams getting more, Clattenburg. Then some teams getting more VARs going against them than others. It's not a conspiracy against us in particular. This is messing up the game of football. And it seems to happen more so. And I watch a lot of football outside of the Prem. It's this country, the way that we do it. Yeah, well, everyone else has got the same rules. Yes, especially my current team, Paris Saint-Germain. It's the Premier League, which is like so anal about a shirt sleeve, an elbow, shit that you can't even actually score a goal with anyway. If you're on a halfway line and my thumb is over the line, what the hell does that matter? It's killing the game. And it's until the likes of Sky advertisers and so forth step up and actually speak up for the fans and say, look, we're not happy about this stuff. They won't change it because it's nonsensical. The amount of people, and I think that I can speak for all fans, over this weekend, I think West Brom had some nonsense against them.
That was as well. That
one. The West Brom one. Sorry, the VAR wasn't working. It wasn't properly working, so they couldn't judge the offside
It was a blind spot. It was a blind spot.
Yeah, it was a blind spot. So VAR.
But at the end of the day, you can tell, Cass, when someone's off or when someone's on. There should be a bit of daylight between the two. If we're in line, it doesn't matter if my elbow is over or my hand is over because I can't score from that, especially from the halfway line as well. It's like it's absolutely ridiculous, the implementation of the rules. This is their implementation of it. The rules are fine, but you don't have to be so anal.
The technology is fine. There's no rule
that says technology is fine, but you don't need to. The geometry kit should go automatically. The geometry line should go because that's a stupid waste of time. We've got Hawkeye for the ball. Like I understand if it was like is the ball completely over the line. I still don't agree with that bit, but I just think that you're killing the game.
How can you not agree with that? Hang on, agree with that?
Because when I grew up, the ball it used to be as a majority of the ball has to be over the line.
Dre, you had me till the last bit.
I don't care.
That ruins everything Dre has been saying for the last 5 minutes.
He always does that.
As long as it's in the general area of the goal.
I've told you, if you agree with Dre, stop him before he talks too long because he'll come around and ruin it for himself. Just ruin whatever argument you have there.
I think this is, jokes aside, I think this is...
No, he's going to do it again.
Because in the day...
Man City now.
Let's be nonsensical. The end of the day is that we care about the game of football. And the end of the day is that what pisses me off as a fan is that this nonsensical line drawing, time wasting and everything else.
I agree with you about the lines. I agree with you about the offside side of things. I think Hawkeye is actually the best use of technology.
It's the only good thing. It's the only good thing that no one really...
In a way, it's probably the only thing that you can do on a football pitch because... Yeah, because offside is always going to be there's always going to be a debate about it, whether someone thinks
where the ball, like if you take it a couple of frames back, the ball's still on his foot. How long the ball's not on his foot? Just for like, it depends when you say the ball's left his foot, because everyone's always looking at the line that's drawn. But what about the time that they have to say when they think it left the guy's foot? So if it's, they just need a margin of error. They just need to make the line thicker and say, look, this is where we think it is. The margin of error each way of X amount, if it's within that, is still clean. But then we'll still have the same argument, is if it's a slither over that That line, that's sort of
complain when there's, if it's a slither over margin of error.
No, but people will. I think that that's the point, is that it, you either have it or you don't. We've had this conversation before, but I think there's no middle ground. You can't say, oh, well, we're going to do slivers now, or we're going to do daylight, but it has to be clear daylight by according to this angle versus that angle. I think if you're going to have that level of technology where you can do it by micrometers and, you know, go down to really small degrees, then you have to do it all the way.
I mean, one way.
I disagree. In cricket, they have margin of error where they have umpire's call. Where
that's true.
It's either half or half hitting, or slightly less than half hitting.
No, and then, but in cricket, no, they have stuff like,
when it's a slither past the margin of error, because that margin of error already considers that sort of the impact.
No, but in cricket, they have the rule that you can challenge it 3 times. So if you're saying we could do that as part of football, then maybe that's the way you could introduce it. But otherwise, cricket, and also cricket is a stop-start game. You can go down to those decisions.
It's true, actually. There's natural breaks in cricket.
In American football, they have a lot of stop-start decisions and a lot of video referees and calls from outside. But that's because it's a stop-start game. Football is not.
Yeah, also one last thing about the, you know, what one thing they could do, which I think could be a simple solution, is that if the lines are touching, it's not offside. Like, you know, when they draw that line, they draw the other line. If the lines are touching, then it's not offside. That
like
might
a thick
be
line, yeah. A thick line, like a 5 centimeter line.
And if it's, and if the two lines touch, then it's given as onside, regardless of.
That's my point. It shouldn't be, oh, okay, well, we're going to, you know, get out of the geometry kit, and it's never a straight line.
Because it's like, if half the line's over the other half.
If you're running, if you're going to pass me the ball, have I got to stop and be like, okay, well, am I, it's not a computer game where you can actually be like, you know, you can hold yourself back for until you're exactly on the line. Are people going to walk around with rulers in the game? It's absolutely ridiculous. So they're killing the actual game. That's what I'm passionate about. And I think as a platform, you know, a successful platform, you know, that's been going 31 episodes, I think we've got a responsibility
here.
To discuss these things and to actually point
this out. Agree.
I don't think you should be penalised for leaning. They need to change to the feet. They need a feet and a thick line.
I think foot's a good one. I agree as well. It's football, let's be honest. And also, one last thing, basically, what we're trying to say, guys, if anyone's listening, football is art, and they're trying to turn it into mathematics, and we don't want that. No, there's an organic, fluid nature to the game. We want it to stay that way. So please let us enjoy the beautiful game. Please.
We, Liverpool Football Club, have not been playing beautiful football this season.
That is true.
Let's talk about that instead. Let's spend that energy. Cass,
let's talk about Klopp. Let's talk about Klopp. Because I have to say, I've been, myself and Dre, you wanted to impeach a long time back. And I'm not saying I want to impeach. I'm not saying that. But I am saying I have had to question him a lot more lately than I've wanted to and thought I'd ever have to. And I just wanted to, obviously, since you were leading this, tell us a bit more about his decisions, first of all, in the Villa game. And then we can come on to, obviously, what happened next after that.
Well, to be fair, in the Villa game, I don't think he could have done much different, or he couldn't have done much else that I would have disagreed with. Like, I was actually on board with the team that started for the most part. And even the way we were playing, given what we've got, it was probably as good as we could do. But he then obviously went about, in my opinion, the Real game, which was a bigger game. The energy.
Let's go on to the Real game.
The energy in this conversation is quite down compared to previous shows that we've done, and that's just generally how everyone is feeling. And I could sense it even whilst we were watching the game that it was just deflating watching us play and watching us go out with a whimper rather than actually going for it. It's never happened in the past. And people are going to say, oh, well, it's because we haven't got the crowds and so on. But other teams were able to turn up. Man City were able to turn up. They were behind and they turned up. Other teams, Paris Saint-Germain, were, you know, against the wall against Bayern Munich, a much bigger challenge, and they turned up and they did it. We were at home. All we needed was 2 goals, and we just kind of sleepwalked through that game. And that's where I blame Klopp, because he picked the wrong team. I don't know why he brought Mane back in when he's been out of form for the whole season. Dropped Jota, who's, like I said, he might not be a creative goal getter, but he is a goal getter. If there's chances in the box, I would want him as much as anyone else in there trying to get on the end of it. And he dropped him. And what kind of message does that send to him, that he's behind Bobby and Mane in a big game when they've been that awful and he's just come back in fresh and scored goals? I think that's a really bad message. And I think that goes back to Klopp's big problem, which is he plays favourites and he doesn't know how to rebuild a team, or he hasn't got that ruthless streak to rebuild a team. I know. I think Suki's probably got issues with the midfield that we played as well, and other positions. But yeah, I think it also tells us what level we're at now, is that we're going out in the quarterfinal. We went out last time around about this stage, if not sooner. Yeah. And we went out this year, and it wasn't a surprise to anyone that we went out to Real Madrid in the quarterfinals when it should be a big deal. We're just saying we'll get in the Champions League somehow, maybe if we finish fourth, and that's such a big drop. And if Klopp's mentality is thinking that's okay, then he should go.
Okay, but Suki, I mean, obviously, and obviously, first I'm going to say quickly on my two pennies on what I thought Klopp. My problem with Klopp was that I felt he again makes strange subs. I thought, even in the Villa game, I thought, why take off Kabak and put Fabinho centre back? When, you know, just like, why? And then they came, they even went through and Fabinho stepped out again, like he was in midfield, and we nearly got caught. I was thinking, that's because he still thinks he's playing midfield. Just leave a settled back four. We've got a back four that's actually kind of working. Don't change it. You know, that's one thing I don't like, and he did it again against Real Madrid. But I have to say, I actually agree in the sense of the sight line for Villa. I thought he got spot on. I think he did what he had to do in that game in terms of the lineups. Is it the best we could have played? Actually, I don't think it's far off, which is sad to say. At the moment, that's probably about, you know, as best as we can hope for. And that's why when the Real Madrid starting lineup was announced, I thought, fair enough, because I thought Milner had to play. The one I thought was a bit dubious about was Wijnaldum. But Suki, tell me a bit more about how you thought the midfield, what you thought about the midfield that Klopp picked for the Real Madrid game.
Yeah, I saw that team and I was really dirty, to be honest, because I genuinely believed that we were going to do a comeback. I just felt that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's probably the hope in me, but I always just feel Liverpool can win in any situation.
Same.
I felt that we would win the Barcelona game a couple of years ago when we did. And I had that same feeling about this game. But yeah, when I saw that was a bit of a sort of dagger blow, really, because I just thought, is this front three going to score me goals? Is Mane, in the form he has been, in the way he has played recently, the way he played against Madrid last week, is he going to score or not?
Okay, so quickly on that, while you're touching on Mane, I was going to say, in defence to Klopp, I thought that that's the best I've seen us play. And it's sad to say that, but that's actually the best I've seen us play in a long time. We actually looked solid. We actually looked, you know, and we should have.
We didn't look like a team that was going to get two goals against Real Madrid. I felt like
back. I disagree.
I felt like they could have really sprung an attack on us anytime they wanted. And they proved that when they just got through at will, basically, towards the second half.
But Cass, if Salah scored that goal within the first couple of minutes, which was set up by Mane, incidentally, Klopp would have been vindicated in his starting 11. Liverpool would have been 1-0 up about 5 minutes into the game. And then anything can happen then, surely.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to take those chances. And if you don't, then you've got to make the changes. Like, okay, why wait until so late to make the changes? Why make defensive changes? Why bring Thiago on when he hasn't been able to create? Why keep Bobby on for so long when he's not doing anything?
To be honest, but I thought Bobby was actually our most best playing, not in terms of threatening, although he did actually get a couple of good shots on goal, but he actually looked like a bit like his old self. Salah was just missing the goal left, right and centre. Don't get me wrong, he's always our biggest threat. And Mane had glimpses of it, but not really there. Yeah, when Jota came on, he looked terrible though. When Jota came in,
Jota did look bad. I agree, you know. Jota did look bad. But that's the point about Jota doesn't look good when he hasn't got people craving for him. And Salah, he's going to have, say, one bad game in five. That's inevitable. Kane has one bad game in five. Lewandowski has one bad game in five. When they have a bad game, you need someone to step in. And, at Bayern and at Tottenham, they don't have someone who steps up. But you need someone to come in and pick up the pieces. And we're supposed to have two players that can do that. And they have done it in the past. But this season, no chance. We don't trust Mane or Firmino to get the big goals when it really matters. And I think the summer is going to be the real test about whether you're Klopp in or Klopp out. But if he thinks this is okay, if he thinks this team is okay, if he thinks he doesn't need major surgery, then I think I'm vindicated in saying he should go.
Okay, Maria, come and give us some hope. Go on. Surely you're Team Klopp. I mean, obviously, you can be Team Klopp without... You can criticise him and still be Team Klopp. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about how he's done recently, especially in the Madrid game?
Yeah, I think he's made some really bizarre decisions. I actually agree with everything that's been said. I was quite surprised by some of the decisions, by the lineup yesterday. I thought putting in Mane, but again, Mane I thought was, well, you know, he had moments of okay, but he obviously wasn't finishing. I thought Wijnaldum, I feel like Genie's checked out. His mind is elsewhere. I was surprised he was started. But then on the other hand, everyone was going on about, why isn't he putting Thiago in the starting 11? Do you know what? There's a reason why he's not putting Thiago in the starting 11. And that's because he's not good enough. He has not proved himself to be good enough. And I still hold on to that. And I felt that from the minute we saw him when he first started. He had that one game, his debut, when he was subbed on. And he was on for, 10 minutes? We're like, wow, amazing. And that was it. We've seen nothing. He hasn't gelled. It hasn't worked for him.
But really quickly on Thiago, though. Bayern played the exact same team, bar Thiago, against PSG and looked completely different. So could it be more, less him and more the system we're playing, the way we're playing?
Yeah, sorry. Just to stop you there. They did not have Lewandowski, which is the big difference.
Okay,
yeah, we forget that, you know, he had... Everyone keeps saying, well, you know, he's been a Champions League winner, He had a whole team behind him that was
Man of the match in that game.
But not for Liverpool.
Fair enough.
I mean, obviously, if you look at it on paper, you'd be like, of course he's perfect fit. He should be doing well. But for whatever reason, hasn't worked. He's not playing, he's not producing anything spectacular that I've seen. He's not making me think, yeah, he was a great buy. And that's why he's not being started. So I saw so much of it yesterday. Why isn't he starting Thiago? Because there's a reason why he's on the bench. And actually, at the moment, with Jota also, you know, like you're saying, he's great at getting them in, but he doesn't create those chances himself. And that's why he's not starting either. And actually, I'm sure I saw a statistic somewhere that he does better when he is brought on rather than when he starts with the starting 11. So, you know, there's reasons, I think, behind Klopp's thinking.
There's a method behind the madness.
There's a method behind the madness, but unfortunately, he's limited in what else he can do.
I do agree with that.
He's got. So what can he do? Thiago should be doing well, but he's not. So what does he do? Who does he put on?
I think Thiago is
so you put on your typical, you know, your standard team.
Yes, Sookie, what was that? Sorry.
I just think Thiago, I agree he hasn't formed as well as we thought. But for me, he's a better option than Genie. I look back at Madrid's third goal last week and just where Genie did nothing, where Genie hasn't been vocal enough as captain. And
he's a terrible captain.
Yeah, and the solidity Thiago brought us then in that second half last week. I just thought Thiago would have been a better start than Genie. And I, like you, I felt Milner was okay. I thought we needed Milner on the pitch and I was fine with that. But I was disappointed that Genie was starting. Yeah, I would have liked to see Fab, Thiago.
I think we've got too many, to be honest with you, I slide towards, this is quite uncomfortably Cass's way of thinking. I think there's unrealistic expectations from Liverpool fans with the situation and the team that we have now. I called it from a little while ago when I saw Real Madrid from the first 5 minutes and I said, it ain't happening. Like we saw, like I said to Sookie, was like, oh yeah, no, I think we still have them. I was like, do you know they were playing with us like puppets? Like they controlled the game both. That game was done last week. This game here, they didn't even need to do much except for just control the game. Like they literally had us. It felt like a schoolyard bully putting their hand on someone's forehead.
No, I disagree. But we didn't take our chances. If we'd have scored, how can you say that? We got in such a position.
I think the clearest chance in the game, I mean, they hit the post in there once and Benzema had a clear shot as well. They had as many clear chances as we did, if not more. They could have scored.
They didn't, but
they didn't have any as many clear chances. Like we definitely, I would agree with Suki on that one, that we definitely had more. But the fact is that we've got bad finishing at the moment. See, it feels like with Salah, he's not. I defend Jota fully. Like, I think Jota has those same opportunities. He scores. I think Jota's more
clinical. Ray, come on now.
Yeah, but the thing is that.
Oh, you didn't see it, did you?
Oh, yeah, you missed it.
He just looked on Twitter.
I just read off of that. The problem was, is that what we're expecting Jota to do against world-class defenders, like, you know, even their bench is world-class.
They were world-class defenders yesterday.
Nah, they're decent.
They had
defenders.
Their B-tech. They're not world-class.
They're better than ours. By a country mile.
But Jota's not playing against ours. He's playing against the B-team of Real Madrid defenders. He didn't turn up.
B-team, but at the end of the day, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, Dre, let me save you. Let me save you for yourself quickly. Let's talk about Leader Ox. Because as a player that I actually wanted to see, Ox actually played well one game and we hadn't seen him since then, you know, when he actually looked dangerous again. And I must admit, what I saw him yesterday wasn't much. But he looked quick. One of our players actually looked quick. And I haven't seen one of our players look fast for a long time. He actually looked like he could do something.
My point is that you've got favourites in this team. And let's like actually discuss this properly. There's favourites in the team. And Klopp, you know, love Klopp to death. But at the end of the day, he doesn't try to change. You know, when someone's out of form, like Bobby had no business starting that game. As far as I'm concerned, he hasn't earned his place. I feel
that he was better than Mane. Let's not forget.
Where's our standards going? Yeah, Mane was rubbish as well.
But who've we got though? That's what I'm trying to say. Who've we got though? What else can he play?
At the end of the day, is that you could have played Shaq and Ox from the start. Like, you know, that would have given you a different formation.
Okay. Dre, let me come at you with this.
Two people that can actually shoot from outside the box. But what it is that it's keeping our game is crossing in. To people that are just going to knock it out. So we could have been playing against bloody Plymouth Argyle and there would have just been stack the box, head it out when they cross.
Yeah, okay, Dre, but quickly, going back to loyalty though, going back to loyalty and Klopp's favourites, we were having the same conversation about Ox early on when Ox was just not turning up. He tried to play him into form. We were like, he needs to stop playing Ox because he looked terrible. I mean, and so there was a time Ox was a favourite. Yeah, so is there some vindication?
The problem is that Ox coming back from an injury was completely rusty. He had a whole almost like a year out of football. So therefore, I think it's unfair for anyone to kind of castrate him for 2, 3, 4 games that he's coming on as a sub. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that is it understandable
But the difference between us and Real Madrid is that he wasn't just sticking to the same people that he had, or the same formation he had. He changed the formation 3 or 4 times. That's the worry I have with Klopp. If I'm going to give one criticism, it's 4-3-3 or die. And we have to.
The problem is, and this is where I'm going to have to slide to Cass's corner, which is a dangerous place to be.
But I know we're both over here.
So I know, man. It's the quality issue. It's not really about. Our team, and I hate to say this, quality-wise, hasn't got the same technical capability as the Real Madrid team. So that's why they can be so flat. You saw the way they managed to pass and control and under pressure and manipulate the ball and dummy and hold possession. It's a technical quality that Spanish teams are generally better at because they play more football that way. That's one of the reasons. I'm not saying our teams can't play that way. But if you pack the
midfield, though, Ellie, like if you pack the midfield and you used to play Ox, and Shaq, who can actually pass the ball through and shoot from outside.
But can't defend.
I get that. But at the end of the day, is that then... I'm not saying... Again, we're not talking about the 4-3-3 formation. We can just various different ones use. I think that if we do the 4-3-2-1, Jota is a finisher. And that's what I would want him to do. He's not going to have a run through. But like I know that if the ball bounces off someone or if there's a one opportunity to strike on goal out of him and Salah, which is weird to say because Salah's... The top scorer in the league, or joint top scorer, I will put my money on Jota. I think Jota's more of a clinical finisher.
I agree with that.
But then how are you going to do that? And you're going to play the same as that formation, having wired out there, has to create his own you know, his own chances against three or four people at a time. The tactics made no sense whatsoever. And you know what? As I said, probably like 7 out of 10 times, Klopp gets it completely right, dominates the ball. But with the personnel that you've got, you can't play that same way. If you had Henderson, you had Van Dijk, you had Gomez, different game altogether. You know, we would.
But in fairness, Nat Phillips.
I'm not saying that would be them. I'm just saying that would be more of a fair fight.
Nat Phillips was Van Dijk-esque yesterday in terms of his ball. I'm normally come at him for his ability on the ball, but he was outstanding on the ball as well. On the ball as well as tackling, right?
But the defense really was not the problem. Last week, he was not, Ellie. Last week,
I know, exposed what
he is. And I'm not saying he's
correct.
Very great learning service. But we haven't got time for that. We have to win every single game for now to the end of the season. We don't have any time for you to be unlearning.
Okay, but also going back to what I'm saying, going back to yesterday's Madrid game, what I'm trying to say and I'm alluding to is that I personally don't think we were that bad yesterday. We weren't that great. We weren't that bad. And that's not the reason, in my opinion, why we went out. Games like yesterday can happen. You know, even in a good season, we weren't blown away. We had our chances. No. On another day, we take them. It wasn't the end of the world. So I'm not actually that mad at yesterday. What I am angry about is what happened before. But you can't do much about that.
Villa game, to be honest with you, like, I didn't expect
7-1. 7-2.
You haven't.
Not the Villa game way back.
The 2-1. The 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Because at the end of the day, is that it's, I've seen it. I've seen it coming with the same formation, the same favourites. Okay.
All right. You're angry now. Ellie, you've changed your tune as well now. In hindsight, should you not have been angry when I was right at the start when we were fluffing up 7-2 against Villa? Wasn't that a bigger defeat than you guys?
That's way longer.
Yeah, but we were.
You can't keep on harping back onto that every time.
No, but all the seeds were there. The problems you've got now, but you're doing the Klopp problem, which is that you're not picking these problems up early with them. If you spotted those problems like I did and others as well, not just me.
No, but
before January, you would have made the signings or had in place the signings that you needed.
I agree with that.
And if you did that even at the end of last season, which was when I was calling out Bobby. I thought he wasn't good enough. After the Madrid game, I thought we had problems. After the Watford defeat and the way we finished the season as well, I thought we had issues that we weren't dealing with. If you made those changes then, you wouldn't be in this situation now. So with hindsight, you should have picked them up early.
But what I will say, and this is just a fact. This is pure fact. We have the fifth best squad in the Premier League, and that's a fact. The number one City, Chelsea squad is better than ours. I'm on paper. I'm not on about the way you've got us performing. I'm on paper. So you got City, you got Chelsea, you got Man U, you got Spurs on paper. I'm not saying how we got. So Klopp's outperformed massively. So this season, right? We've had a situation where we've lost the ones that we really can't lose. We've lost, and on top of that, I'm not saying that's the only reason. And on top of that, we've had a different form of all three of our forwards. And I'm not saying Salah's been terrible, but he has dropped. You have to say he has dropped. His conversion rate's definitely gone down. So those two things combined has put us in a position where I don't think you can completely blame Klopp for thinking that the players could return to that level. I don't think you can blame him for that.
I think you do have to partially blame him. But also, if what you said is true, which is that we've got the fifth best squad on paper, and I'm assuming you're saying when everyone's fit as well, right? Or do you mean just now?
I mean when everyone's fit, actually. I do mean when everyone's fit. Yeah.
I agree with you. But then how has the team, which won the Champions League 2 seasons ago and won the league last season, ended up with just the fifth best team? What have Tottenham done to have a better squad than us?
I'll give you
the excuse of like, all right, the money Man City have got, the money Chelsea have got, the money that Man United even have got. But how have the Premier League champions ended up behind Tottenham?
And it's the owners. We can't look at it any other way. It has to be leveled at the owner's door. But I mean, what I'm saying is right. Okay, Dre, what are you going to say?
No. I don't think you can. I think for the one, I say this every week. These guys have been learning. This is not their first sport. You know, they're majority American owners. They have not.
Oh, God.
They've made great, correct decisions all the way.
What is this?
I really truly believe
we called a bad squad 2 seasons ago.
But I say to Suki this as well. Like, me and Suki have this debate consistently. The end of the day is that predominantly it's actually been an upward trajectory since they've taken over in the last 10 years. Look at what we won. 10 years before that, what was we winning? So you've got to look at, like, you know, the end of the day is that they've turned this team.
Well, technically, we're just one Premier League up on what we had 10 years before that. And we finished second a couple of times. So I don't think you can look at the 10 years and say, oh, that's such a massive improvement on what we had 10 years before that. We got one Champions League.
Because in the day, is
we got one Champions League. Okay, right? But we performed as well.
Just one Champions League. There's one Champions League. We lost in the final. Well, that's fine, but we lost in the final.
We lost in the final with Benitez as well.
If you're going to count.
We lost in the final with Benitez as well. Okay. So Champions League wise, they were equal. But Champions League wise, we're equal.
Okay.
Yeah, and but you said it's league? A massive but you said it's a massive improvement, and I'm telling you it's not, because if you look at it.
Okay.
In terms of Liverpool as a brand, I'll say this is the closest we've got to be back to the glory days. Back to the glory days. And yes, I understand in terms of, and also, I think you'll have to agree with this, Cass, we actually won it on merit when we won the Champions League this time. We did not with Benitez. You know, I mean, we won it on merit in terms of the performance. No, but, warranted it. You can't argue that. But what I mean is, I believe we were the best team in Europe when we won.
Yeah, but then you have to give credit. You're right. I agree with you. The team that won in 2005 was nowhere near as good as the team that won it last year with us. But then you have to give credit to the manager who got us over the line and say he was a great manager.
And then I do.
You have to question the manager now when he's got such a better team that he can't do it again.
Oh, yeah, but then, look, hey, let me just read something out that someone put out today, which I thought was quite interesting. The Champions League semi-finalists, clubs run by Qatar, UAE, a Russian oligarch, and a club seeking a keynote investor from Saudi Arabia. You know, the beautiful game. And it's basically saying that these guys have got substantial amounts of money to call on, and it's no way surprise that they're getting it. We just haven't got that kind of money.
How are West Ham ahead of us in the league? How are Leicester ahead of us in the league? Where's their massive reserves?
It's like you don't accept that, and we say this every week. I don't see how many times I can say, or you don't realize that we've had a massive injury.
Yeah, you know,
influx to the team that makes a massive difference.
Leicester have been without Soyuncu for the start of the season. Okay. Madison, Leicester are complaining about injuries, saying their injuries are as bad as Liverpool.
Names. I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day, if you're talking about a system that, you know, a team has put together based around these players, yes, folly as it is, because at the end of the day, that, you know, they should have had backups just in case someone got injured. But no one can think that there's going to be like 1.9 players out. Like, you know, I think we've done well considering the fact of what we've had to deal with. I think we've done quite well.
Maria, let's hear from Maria. Let's see what Maria has to say on this, because she's been quiet. I can see the eyes moving side by side. A lot of thinking going on there. I'm not sure if you agree or disagree. What's your view on this whole thing? I mean, I think it's a tough one to know for sure. I mean, hindsight's always one of those things. But do you blame? Is it more of an ownership thing, a Klopp thing, or just performance thing, injury thing? What do you think?
I think it's easy to blame the owners.
Yes.
But I do think it's a little bit of both. Actually, I think the lack of investment is a problem in getting in new signings and so on. However. And as you know, I'm a very big Klopp fan. I actually really admire him and his style and so on. However, this is where we've seen holes in the way that he does things. And we go back to this history repeating itself with Klopp's management. And he clearly gets to a point with the team that he feels really safe and comfortable with. And he keeps playing them and playing them and playing them. He's doing that thing where, you know, where we say, can't change things by doing the same stuff over and over again. And we've got, I think, to this crunch point. And actually, I agree with Cass. When they lost 7-2 to Aston Villa early on in the season, that was a massive warning. We should not be losing 7-2 to Aston. We shouldn't be losing 7-2 to anyone. That was a massive, massive warning that actually something needs to change right straight after that match. And if we keep harping on about, yes, we've had injuries, yes, we have. However, Virgil isn't the answer, because Virgil was actually partially responsible for that 7-2 loss, and he wasn't playing well for a while. So we can't keep saying that they're the answers. They're not. The team has changed. The environment has changed. Things have changed. And we can't just think that because something worked 2-3 years ago, it's going to keep working now. The players are getting older. The players are, you know, things change. Form does dip. We know that. And actually, yes, we can't go on about hindsight, but there should have been backup, and there's none. And that's why we're stuck in this situation now where we're saying, oh, why did he play Wijnaldum instead of Thiago? But even though we know Thiago's not doing well either, well, because he's going for his safe option, because that's all we've got. There's no one else. There's no backup. So I think partly it is actually Klopp's fault at this stage. He keeps making mistakes now. He keeps doing weird decisions. He's subbing on late. He's subbing on, making weird decisions, sticking with the same formation, tries to change it partway, too late, you know, still bringing people on at 80 minutes. It's not, it just isn't working. And you have to say that is down to the management at this stage. At this stage, it's down to the management. FSG, yes, they're the owners and so on, but ultimately Klopp is the one doing the operations on the pitch and the team. And so he should be communicating with FSG and talk, you know, there should be more going on. Whatever is going on, and it seems a complete mystery, to be honest, to me right now, is all I can see is just these holes in the team. It's like where you've managed a team, you know, you've got a group of friends and you feel really comfortable with them and it's great. And then one person leaves and the dynamic changes. And you don't, and nothing change, nothing adjusts to kind of fill that gap. So you need to, he needs to be filling gaps, and he needs to stop playing, as we're saying, favourite players. And I don't even know if it's favourites, it's just who he's comfortable with, who he knows. He's playing the players that have been there the longest because he knows them. And that's just not, it's not working.
Yeah, I think he's playing players, he's not necessarily playing players that have the highest ceiling. He's playing players that have the lowest bottom, basically. So he knows the worst case scenario, he'll get a 6 out of 10 out of them. Whereas there's some players who might give him a 9, but could give him a 5. You know what I mean? I think he's just...
Bobby hasn't been above a 5 for most of this season. I don't know where that...
Okay, but okay, don't get me wrong, Cass. I get you, I have to say, he's probably been, if our front three in the last 2 games, he's been the one behind Salah in terms of performance level. He's been ahead of Mane.
You can't undo 8, 9, 10 months of awful performances by 2 games.
I know, but we can only do with what we've got now. And that's what I'm saying. You can't blame Klopp for playing him now, because currently, when you look at Mane, he's better than him. And what I saw of Jota, he was definitely better than him. And the thing about Jota is he's a good player, but he doesn't, especially against Real Madrid. You saw how many times Bobby tackled back in midfield. And against a team like that, the way we're playing at the moment, we really needed that. I mean, if Jota was playing, I mean, Jota in the first game started that game, but you wouldn't remember it because he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but
like,
why?
Even
though Jota didn't play particularly well, it was his run and shot that actually opened up the gate for.
But it was Wijnaldum who gave the ball to him, and we still shredded Wijnaldum for having a terrible game.
I just think
I think
that it's not fair for people to be like writing off Genius. Oh, he's not giving his commitment. Like, this man's played pretty much every game. I just think it's unrealistic. People, our team, our fans have been spoiled, and this includes me.
That is
and
true.
Maybe I've watched the delusion out of my eyes for the last like couple of weeks or so. But the end of the day is that I just see that there's people in this team that actually just need to move on. There's in the squad that needs to move on. There's new opportunities given to Shaq. I think Keita again wasn't available. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
He was available. He just didn't pick him.
He wasn't available. That's what he means. He wasn't available.
But if you're not picking him for a game like this,
I agree,
stupidly people are thinking, you know, I'm not calling anyone a name, but I'm just saying that I think I'm reasonable. for anyone to believe that this, that, you know, if we, let's say in theory we've got past this, Chelsea are no joke. I fancy our chances.
They beat us last time we played them,
but they didn't just beat us. they taught us a lesson. No, I agree. And then let's say in theory we got to the final. You've got Man City or Paris Saint-Germain. Like, come on now. Like, yeah, just be realistic now. Full team, I'm like all for it. I think that our full team, I still believe, could beat majority of the teams here. But this club is just, yeah, we've got a lot of worn out players. So
no, but then, but you still haven't said whose fault is it more, FSG or Klopp, because it's one of their fault.
Never
in this situation. But then you can't just say then you have to say it's Klopp.
As injuries as well. Now you got, come on, injuries. I mean, there are a lot of, I was being a bit hot. There are so many factors that are contributing to this. We've had the top of the chart too much.
I think personally.
No, what I will say about you
in particular, Ellie.
Yes. Okay.
Suki is the biggest hater.
In particular, are guilty of giving Wijnaldum, who's giving you dedicated service, which you're ungrateful.
Let me explain.
For. And then you've got a part-time player, who's hardly ever plays. You're fully getting into what's a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Last week, getting it around.
That's true.
Like, you can't.
I'll defend him to the hilt. And what I'll
why?
Say.
Let me explain.
Yeah, no, I'll start with Genie. The thing about Genie, right? And I love, by the way, I actually wanted Genie to come to Liverpool before he went to Newcastle. That's how long I've watched him. I watched him play in the Dutch league when he had dreads. I've been following Genie for years. No, but I know the player. I understand the player. I know what he does. That's what I'm trying to say. No, what I'm trying to say is at Newcastle as well, he was a number... Before we signed him, he was a number 10, a creative number 10. He scored 4 goals in 1 game for Newcastle, right? Even for Holland, we see it more now. He plays that progressive player. But at Liverpool, we turned him into this crab-like player who just goes sideways to side. He goes sideways like a crab. A crab. A talented crab, but a crab nonetheless. He goes sideways...
Genie is one of the elite midfielders in European football at the moment.
He was before we got our hands on him and turned him into the crab. Honestly, he used to, even in the early seasons, he used to score some very important. He used to score the goal that got us back in the Champions League at the end of the season. You know, dynamic, driving forward.
But wasn't he one of the fundamental reasons why we've been dominant in midfield?
Yes, he was.
No, I'm not saying right now. Right now, he's tired.
But that's my point, though. My point is that we've got to a point where his style has changed so much, it doesn't appear he can... Yesterday, we saw glimpses of him switching again. Ah, that Genie way to step over, beat a man, push through. It's like, yes, that's the Genie we want. Yes, that one, please. But he seems to just go into this... I mean, it could just be tiredness, but whatever it is. And you go back to my talk about Naby. Now, Naby, I know, is a player, and everyone can disagree with me to the hilt on this. I don't mind that, you know, you all have your opinions, but this is my opinion, so respect that at least. That's what I'm saying, as it's mine, and I can have my opinion on this.
Fair enough.
I know, footballing-wise, I know, and I know a lot of my friends who currently play professional football who agree with me, what Naby can do is not normal. He can do things that other players can't do, and his ability to dribble. Klopp even said it. He can beat a man standing still. He can dribble. That is a gift that no one in our team has and not many players in the league have, full stop. Even last season when he didn't play very much, he still had the top statistics for beating a man in Europe. Now, I don't think it's his fault that we haven't leveraged that skill set enough. I'm not in the same way that I'm not blaming Thiago. That's what I was trying to say, Maria. I am not blaming Thiago for the fact that we think he's bad. And I'm not necessarily blaming everyone else for the fact that they think Naby's bad. It's just the way the system's set up. It doesn't help them. And the thing is, and the reason Naby and Thiago were bought was to change the way Liverpool played. We used to have they used to call it break. We said it now. It was Wijnaldum, Milner, and Hendo. It was that 3-year. We used to like, oh, but every big game, Klopp used to go to them, but they used to do the job. Not very creative, but they always did the job for us. So Klopp's task was, okay, we need to change this. We need to be more creative and we need to have different ways of winning games. So that's why he signed Naby. That's why he signed Thiago. But, and this is where I feel sorry for Klopp. I kind of blame him, but I also feel sorry for him because he needs time to change the style of footballing. And it's hard to change it when it's working. Like last year, we were winning. So right. It's like, why would you change it then? We were actually winning every game. So now the time comes in the summer, obviously the COVID, we had a short break, didn't really have much pre-season. Then we get injury after injury after injury. We never really got time to develop this new Liverpool way of playing. And he's just had to try and find solutions this whole season wherever he can. So now, which is why I think he actually played okay yesterday, he went back to the tried and trusted the Milner, the Fabinho, and the Wijnaldum. And it wasn't spectacular, but it just worked, right?
I haven't finished.
You can carry on now. You go for it.
But there's still no practical reason. You've not given us a reason why Naby is better than Genie at Liverpool. You haven't given us.
So let me answer that quickly.
Hang on. You had a long speech there. You talked to us about both of their pasts and how good they were when they came to us, and we haven't played Naby to his potential. But Genie has done it at this club in the biggest tournaments, in the biggest games, and if
since he's arrived,
Genie is tired. And that's why his form has dipped. And I think that is the reason his form has dipped. Why is he tired? It's because certain players, and Naby's not the only one, but certain players have been on the sick note bed all the time when we've needed them to step up. And then when it comes into it and we say, oh, look at Genie, he's so bad because he's tired. Yeah, of course he is. He's played pretty much every single game. I think technically he's not been injured at all since he's been here. He's only been rested in certain games. That's how good and consistent he has been.
Yeah.
It counts for a lot. And if you're having to lift up various sick notes at various positions, then of course you're going to be tired, and you can't really judge him on being tired when you're giving someone else a free pass and say, oh, but they used to be good technically and they're such a good dribbler in practice games or on the training field that we
But Cass, what I meant was is that Naby was never meant to do what Genie does. He's not, that's what I'm trying to say. He's a different system type of player, but Klopp's reverting back to a system which doesn't suit Naby or Thiago, it has to be said. It doesn't suit either of them. He's trying to... The system that Klopp is reverted to because he has no options is the tried and trusted one, is the one he won the league with, the one he won the Champions League with, and the one he was actually trying to change by buying these players. But now he's got these players, he's trying to get them to play a style of football which he didn't actually buy them to play. He's trying to get them to be...
Let me just come in with this. This is what I feel, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong. I feel that we've the best way to describe Naby's time there is that we've got the outfit and he's just an accessory. I don't feel that he's actually, if I'm looking at his time now, we won the league without him. Like, you know, he didn't do anything that's going to make us win the league. Like, there's no time where you're like, right, this is when he took over these few games, you know. I think you remember Fabinho's being dominant in the midfield.
Yeah, but that's not discussion. Fabinho's not discussion.
I don't remember, and I'm not on the side of Cass where he doesn't actually rate him as a player. I think he's a good player. What I'm saying is that his availability is not good enough for you to be able to kind of put him against Genie and critique Genie.
But I'm not up against Genie because I think he's a worse player. I'm saying I'm against the style that he's playing. Look, I told you. Genie is a crab, side to side.
Yeah, but you're telling us that
we don't score enough goals. Yeah, I know, but that's my point. That's the reason I'm against it.
How can you say Klopp or anyone should build a team around Keita or should try his
system? I didn't say that.
You're slagging off the tried and tested, but the reason it's tried and tested is because
I just said it worked yesterday. I just said it worked better than the lineup.
You're saying he plays the crowd football. You're talking it
down. Yes, because it's not going to get us where we need to go. Look at the Man Cities, the PSGs, the even the Real Madrids. Look at how technical and progressive their play is constantly. If we want to be on that level, we have to change our midfield three. None of our midfields get any assists. None of our midfield progress.
I agree. We need to change our midfield three, but we're going to have to change it to players that are there and that are reliable and that can step up and have proven track records in the big games. Genie is not good enough now. I agree with you on that. I think he's done his time and mentally he's drawn out. I said it when it was coming up to January that if he doesn't sign that contract, we're not going to know for sure whether he's going to be committed mentally or whether he's going to check out. And I think
he hasn't checked out though. So I don't think he has. I think it's wrong for people to say.
I think he has.
As much as
physically checked out, at least.
I think
Mane's checked out. Mane has checked out. He was
not intentionally
terrible.
I'm wondering if it might be some. You know how some people have suffered from long-term effects of COVID. I'm wondering if it's with a lack of energy because he just seems not to be himself physically.
No,
physically.
COVID did not. You know, when there's an easy pass for Jota to score at the end of the Villa game, you know, COVID didn't do that. That's him. And
no,
he does,
true. Very
he
true.
Does
very
stuff
true.
Like that, which is unacceptable. That's confidence, and that's the type of nonsense that he does. No, but it's not confidence because at the end of the day, is that if you're not confident, you're more likely to pass it. You're passing.
No, because he wants to score to get his confidence up. That's why.
I made feel the like wrong decision. Maria might have a look at a different opinion than I do, but me and Maria definitely have. I've been like saying that he's checked out like a little while ago. I'm not happy with his performance. I mean, his demeanor, his effort. He's not the same player in any.
I think
two should be on his ass, not Genie's, if anything.
I've been saying from quite early on how poor Mane has been, how he shouldn't be playing. I don't know why that is. I don't know. I think both Cass and I have said it fairly early. He's lost his pace. He is making really bad decisions. His final third passing is awful. But I don't know if that is a long COVID thing. I don't know if he just needs a break. I don't know. With Mane, I'm not sure if that is
Shaq deserves a chance over him. If you look at the West Ham game, you remember that pass that he did to set up Salah for the goal? Like, come on. This is my point. Give people a chance. Like, if you see that players are burnt out, Bobby and Fabinho should have been playing in that game. It should have been Ox and Shaq, because then you've got something different that they haven't seen before. And this is the point. So if we're going to win the rest of these games, which I do think we're capable of, if we can, you know, if we can make some small changes, put Jota in the middle so you've got actual lethal finisher there. Salah, you know, he has these games where he's like, you know, skies 10 goals, 10 balls against the roof of the stadium rather than score. He has these games, but he's still an elite player. But I just think that
we've
got to look at what we're going to do.
He won't be elite for us next season. I think he's gone. I think he looked at that Real game and he thought, I want to be there rather than here. I've done all I could. The team around me is not good enough. Benzema's not getting any younger. I think they could make that big swoop for him. And I think it would make sense for Salah as well. And like, you can't really have a go at him either because he's done as much as he can. He's scored the goals that he's expected to score. All right, his performances in some games haven't been good enough, but his overall return is like one of the best.
You can't say anything against Salah.
Exactly.
You could say he misses, but you can't complain that because he scores more than anyone else. You can say
he doesn't
pass.
As well.
Can't complain.
He assists more than anyone else.
He's got more assists than anyone else in the whole squad.
He wouldn't have done that against, if he was in Mane's place at the end of the game and Jota was free, he would have passed the ball. And I think...
I
don't think he would have.
No, I think he would have. I think he's done passes and he passed to Jota last time.
Yeah.
I think he's more likely to pass than Mane. Mane at the moment just does not make the right decisions. But
in Mane's defence, if you're physically not there, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there. Unfortunately, I have, where you used to have pace and then you suddenly go play the game and the pace ain't there anymore. And then you don't know what to do because normally you just run. And then suddenly you're having to think of something else to do. You're like, okay, so what do I do now? And then it just kind of a knock-on effect. Like, I agree with Suki in terms of confidence ways. Like, because you think, maybe if I get a goal, then maybe that'll get people off my back, or maybe that'll get me. Yeah. So you might try and shoot when normally you might pass because you don't
That's
need
greedy.
To score.
Ah. Same thing that he was railing up at the sideline of Burnley for him doing.
True.
Have to not have favourites. We can't. We have to be fair. Across the board.
Mane should not be playing. Mane should not. I said this yesterday. Mane shouldn't be playing that game. I don't think he should be being picked in future games. My team yesterday would have started Shaq as well. I think I said that to you last week, Dre, after the Villa game. I'm not sure.
I don't see what he's done wrong.
Okay, guys. Okay, tell you what. Let's go on to the Monday night fixture. We're away at Leeds. I know we said about must-win games, but I mean, it's fair to say that this really is a must-win game.
That's the first. If they win that, I'll be on board with you saying we might have a chance at top four. But I think it's done right there. I think that'll be the one. Like, remember, we started our season at Villa. We had our full team. We were at home. Everything was gravy. We barely scraped a 4-3 win, and there was a last-minute goal by Salah.
Yeah, I mean, and we were fortunate with that. Let's be honest, we were. But okay, Cass,
one thing I think we haven't spoken about actually is, and we've touched on it, and it's to do with the whole system and stuff. We talk about we are sticking to this old system, but actually, what I think we haven't done this past 2 years, and I think us winning the Premier League has probably got in the way of it. We changed the way we defend from two years ago to last season when VAR got introduced. And I just don't think it's working for us. It wasn't
the high line, pushing up high.
Van Dijk was playing. We're conceding far too many goals. It certainly isn't working with the level of defenders we have now, and we still haven't switched it up. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand why we're not going to how we were playing 2 years ago.
Fair point.
Because we're conceding far too many silly goals. We did it in Real Madrid. The goals we conceded to Madrid was because of that. And it's just costing us time and time again. Yeah. It cost us against Leeds at the start of the season. It's happening just far too much. And I don't understand why we keep persisting with it. It's because VAR's there. We keep doing it. And Virgil's not going to solve that. Virgil and Gomez won't solve that because they got beat by Villa.
They got beaten by that, yeah.
But in fairness, Cass, in fairness, Suki as well, we kept so many clean sheets recently. You know, Kabak and Phillips kept three clean sheets back to back. Okay, we conceded one against Villa, but you'd argue that Alisson probably should have saved it. And then the Real Madrid, okay, fair enough. But I'm just saying that, and again, yesterday, clean sheet. So I'm just saying that, yes, that has been not the greatest, but that hasn't really been why. I mean, our defence hasn't, I mean, it hasn't, it hasn't. I mean, it hasn't been, we haven't conceded that many goals. The problem, real problem, is we stopped scoring. And yeah, I agree with you. I do agree that maybe it would give them a bit more confidence and help somewhat. But yeah, no, I just think that it's a case of our forwards, they're both problems, but our forwards are the biggest problem. So yeah, so anyway, so Maria, I think seeing as you're the calm, sensible head amongst us all on this.
I try.
Yeah. In terms of the Leeds game on Monday, who would you start? If you were Klopp, or maybe actually no, if you were Maria, if you were in charge, who would you start?
Oh, do you know, I was trying to come up with who I would start before we started recording, and I'm conflicted with this one because they really need to win, and I'm with Cass on this. If they don't win this is they're not going to get top four, and I'm sorry, I know you've asked for a lineup, but I'm quite concerned that we're not going to get top four because I know that all those teams need to play each other. But what we're doing now is we're in a position where we need to win every single game, and we have to, and we're relying on all the others to drop points. And there's a battle going on there, and those teams are doing well. And whatever we say about the ones that are above us, they're doing really, really, really well. So
it's what about just Chelsea, though? Chelsea have got Man City, and now they've got a doubleheader against Real Madrid in amongst all those fixtures. So they've got a really, really tough few weeks coming up. So that they could be potentially one to drop out.
Well, they could be. But again, we're relying on them not doing well. So
yeah, it's true. We have to. Yeah, we're in that position now.
Oh, everyone's frozen.
Oh, is it on your end?
But anyway, okay, so let's just move to Suki. Suki, in terms of, I know it's tough to do, I know it's hard, but, you know, who would you go with to start on Monday night against Leeds?
I'd go for what I probably would have done against Madrid. So I'd get Shaq in the team. I'd keep...
Playing where?
I'd get Shaq in. I'd keep Salah on. I'd play Jota. I'd actually keep Milner again, Fabinho. I'd probably go Thiago over Genie. I understand all the things you guys have said, Kasim and Dre on Genie, but whether it's due to tiredness or any other reason, even if it is tiredness, I think Genie just needs to be benched then.
I'm grateful.
I'm not worried about what the reason he isn't playing is. He scored for the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago in the international break. So he's doing it for Netherlands, not for us. Whether that's the system Klopp's playing him in and he's just not being allowed. But no, I think for me, I'd get Thiago in over him. I'm not saying I've been impressed with Thiago this season, but I've been more impressed with Thiago than Genie. So I'd probably play Thiago, Fab, Shaq, Jota, Salah. I'm not playing Mane. Now, the worry is, I don't think Bobby has been good enough, but I think when we don't play Bobby, there is no connection to the front, and the front, like Jota, doesn't get involved in the game. So I'd probably play Bobby as well, with the view to bringing on Ox for the second half.
I think that's a pretty interesting lineup. Obviously, you're bringing the changes there, and I think you're right. Regardless of what happens, there does need to be changes for fresh legs. But Dre, would you agree with Suki's lineup, or would you make a few changes?
It's kind of difficult because you kind of think, well, what should actually happen and what actually is going to happen. I think he's going to keep on playing Gini. I think he's going to carry on with the similar type of midfield. I think he'll play Thiago again. I feel with this team in particular, you know, they're all going home going forward. I don't understand their logic in playing, really. It's just that they leave themselves open all the time. So this is the type of game that Salah, Jota should have fun and score some goals in. So I wouldn't...
As a fan, I would have had a lot more fun watching Leeds play this year than Liverpool. I know they're gung-ho and they go for it and stuff like that, but it's been a lot more fun watching them than watching us play.
But you must have fun watching us last season. Last season, we were doing a similar type of thing, battering teams.
Up until the Watford game, yeah. But towards the end of last season, okay, I think we turned off.
Okay, let me just... I'm going to change up very slightly. I know we haven't got that long left, but... Something happened at the end two seasons ago. When we're playing that football, you know the football I mean, where we score three and potentially concede three, or we score five, score seven, score six, and we were just incredible to watch. But we couldn't hold the ball
when we had Salah, Mane and Firmino first season.
Yeah, and Coutinho was there, and then Coutinho left, and then he still carried it on for the. Oh my gosh! But. People keep saying that Buvac left and he fell out with Klopp. He'd been with him for like, is it 19 years or something ridiculous in his career? Now, everyone says he was known as the brains. So everyone said that he was the strategic brain behind the way Liverpool played. And we haven't been the same since he left. Now, we did win the league last year, but stylistically, we were nowhere near as good to watch. We were nowhere near as good to watch.
You lot all rate that Pep Linders. You say, oh, he's going to be the next manager.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't rate his ability. There's a difference between... there's levels. He's still very much an apprentice, so to speak, learning his way in. Whereas Buvac was an established, you know, coach who'd done it for years and years and years and years. Klopp's right-hand man, but they had a falling out. So part of me wonders is if that is why we have been so slow to change things, is because we've lost this coaching brain, so to speak, who was perhaps responsible for the stylistic play we had back then. And we've kind of relied on to get us the results that we've got.
I mean, I don't know. Has Buvac done much since he's left? Has he gone?
He wanted to manage, but I think he got one job and I think it didn't work out too well for him. And then he hasn't done a great deal since. But he didn't even message Klopp to congratulate him after they'd won the league, apparently. So they must have had a pretty bad falling out.
I mean, I'll say this. Klopp does have it in him to like have that pettiness. That we saw it with certain players in the past. We saw it with the way he subbed Salah this season and with Naby Keita, the way he subbed him off at 43 minutes rather than 45. He's got that pettiness in him. Like you could, I mean, all the best managers do, though, to be honest. The Fergie used to do it. Mourinho definitely does it, even though he's not one of the best anymore. So I can't blame Klopp for having a change or not getting on with various people around him. But I mean, that just brings into question whether Klopp is as good as you all say, or whether he's actually... I've been thinking about it pretty much since we said it about an hour ago about Benitez versus Klopp. But if you really look at it, Champions League each, all right, Klopp has got a Premier League over him, but Benitez did win the FA Cup. I know you don't rate it, but it was a trophy more than what we're going to get this season. And we said how bad the owners were under Benitez and how good, Dre, especially, you keep saying how great FSG are right now. So Klopp has definitely got better owners than Benitez has. I don't think, when you compare them like for like, that Benitez was that far behind Klopp.
I agree, actually.
No, I feel that with Klopp, what he's done. I mean, Benitez, I'm not ungrateful for Benitez. He gave us like one of the, if I think, still the best Champions League final ever. But at the end of the day,
stylistically, football was boring.
Torres Gerrard link up, that team was amazing.
We wouldn't have got him if we
weren't. I saw that was
Benitez. We wouldn't have got him. That's
true.
I feel that we at that point we were very much like midfield upwards. We was definitely like just a two man team.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Gerrard and I feel like now I'm a lot more. I was surprised when we beat team. Now I expect with our full team, I expect it. We haven't been as dominant to a point where people in Europe have been discussing us as the best team in Europe and by far fearing us coming to play them or all these things, you know, putting our teams in a lot of our teams in commercials, all those types of things. So all round, I feel from what
I disagree Klopp with you left, about Europe, though. I disagree with you about Europe because, all right, they both won one with Liverpool. They both got to one final. But I think Benitez had more semi-finals than Klopp has. Klopp has gone out at the quarterfinal stage.
Both of them got to two finals.
Europa League final as well, don't forget, which is you can't do much better than...
Yeah, but Benitez got semi-finals as well. He got knocked out in the semi-finals against Chelsea. And I think he's done better overall in the Champions League than Klopp has with us. But my point overall is that if he's got a good owners, as we say, he's got great owners, then he has to take some of the responsibility for the way the team is playing now more than I think you guys are being overly generous based on what he's done in the past. I think if you look at it, and especially if you rate the owners as much as you do, then you have to say Klopp has got to take some of the blame. And the real question is, if he doesn't make the changes in summer, then who are you going to blame?
I'll be with you on that. But what I would say is that it's lack of preparation. It's celebrating too much over our champion, our league victory. And we weren't doing what, you know, Man United would have done, which is strengthen while you're at the top, buy better players, have more competition for places. I feel that we've been, us as fans as well, celebrating, watching, you know, documentaries and all these other things way too much. And there should have been pressure, you know, on Michael Edwards to be buying other players. I feel that Van Dijk went down. They didn't buy in the next available transfer window. You know, we could have sorted this out in September, where we would have been, I think personally, a bit more of a safer place within the top four. You know, so definitely there's things that I feel that FSG Klopp could have done better. Klopp, with his favourites, it gets on my nerves, as you guys know in my rants. I think that I feel that what they've actually accomplished from start to now, come on, like, you know, we're a global recognised entity now. You know, even when
agreed,
when we was winning the Champions League with Gerrard and stuff, like, you know, other teams from other countries wasn't wearing our shirt the same way we are now. Got Salah, global icon. You know, come on, there's a lot.
No one's wearing new kit. That's ugly.
Okay, well, anyway, just to wrap, Nike,
we didn't mean that.
Nike, we didn't mean that. Okay, just the last one. One last, just to wrap this one up and we'll call it quits for this week. And hopefully we can catch up next week after a victory. But you each can sign one player this summer. Very quickly, who would it be? And very quickly, why? Very quickly. And I'll start with, you're all backing off. I'm going to start with Suki.
Not saying this is realistic, but Mbappe.
Okay, and why?
Just because watching him the last few weeks has just shown me how incredible he is.
Okay, and now I'm going to go to Cass.
I would go for... I would go for Sancho, actually. I've changed my mind a little bit.
Interesting. Interesting.
And that would be because...
Well.
I think he's gettable. I'm being realistic. I also think that Mbappe and Haaland have already pretty much signed for other clubs as well. So I think to stay within their realms of realism...
Who's Mbappe signed for, what do you think?
I think he'll go to Real.
So where's Salah going to go then?
Salah's going to go...
To Dre's other team, PSG.
Yeah, Salah can go to PSG. I think it'll be a merry-go-round. I think teams will move players around. I just think Sancho. I think Sancho. And I think they've highlighted the problem in midfield now is becoming even more apparent than other positions. So I'm going with Sancho.
Okay, and I'll go to Maria.
I'm going to go totally left field because you guys are just going for all the obvious choices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all going to be like, who, what?
What?
So just get
Riedewald.
Riedewald.
No, come on, give me some credit. Wow, I mentioned that guy once, and I've never been allowed to forget it.
It was more than
once. You're not when I start going back and listening, I'm going to pick out these little things. You're going to be in trouble. As I said, I'm going a bit left field. I'm going for someone called Ivan Toney. He plays for Brentford. He's a striker. He is currently being looked at by every team in the Premiership. He's the highest scoring player across the English Football League, the whole league, highest scoring.
He's a baller, to be honest.
He is incredible.
Yeah.
He is currently quite cheap. If they get promoted, which it looks like Brentford, but he could be like, you know, we keep talking about the future stars that we take on. If they get promoted, which it looks like Brentford will be, and he stays with them, his price is going to rocket. But at the moment, he is viable, he's available, and I think that's what we should do. He's a striker as well, and we need a striker. We need a striker.
We need goals.
He gives a big money signing as well, then, because we can get him signing. A big money signing.
That is a big money signing.
That probably is, yeah, to be honest, with our budget, to be honest. Big it's money signing. You know, I'd go for... I don't want to go for a big money signing.
Okay,
That's my signing.
I rate him. I think it's a great shot. I never thought about him. But all right, then, Dre, how do you top that one?
Well, Cass has got on my bandwagon there. Because I think that Sancho does everything that we want.
Okay.
I think if you're looking for a player that is able to be able to create opportunities and score, because he's a good finisher as well, and he's fast, you'll fit in the team. I think that he can play, correct me if I'm wrong, across both sides as well. I think that he enables you to be able to play different systems. I think he's a very intelligent player. He's wasted at Man United, not because I hate them, but he's wasted at Man United because they're not a complex team. No, if he does go there. If he does go there, you know, I think because that's like the long-term rumour that he'll go there. I think if he's going to go to us or City, for example, I think that we've got the players and the formations, providing Klopp plays them. You know, and tries out different players. That would be useful. I think he'll do really well in our system.
I think the reason he's gettable is because Man United seem to have shifted their focus on other players. So he's in that position where he priced himself out of a move last summer, and now no one's coming calling. So the price is going to go down a bit, and there's no one.
Apparently, it's like 86 million or something like that.
I mean, it's still going to be. You would.
I would.
Okay. I'd sign someone. Where did I go? A guy called Naby Keita. It's about time we signed him. I'm joking. I'll be honest.
Who would you sign Naby Keita for?
You know where you're going.
You
know where you're going.
It has to be Mbappe for me.
After that performance against Bayern, I was thinking there's no way in hell that Ellie's not going to drop off now. He's going to get even worse.
Neymar was outstanding.
I'm telling you.
And I'm not a big fan of his, but he was outstanding in that game.
Yeah, I rate him, but he's just injury prone. He's just the injury proneness, and I know that we can't afford any more players like that. And I am in agreement with you all on that. And also, incidentally, I do think that I unfortunately have come to a position that I actually think Naby will leave this summer now.
Yeah,
which I'm sad about, but I think it's for the best of him. Real Madrid are interested. Barca are interested. All these top teams.
He'll go to Dortmund.
Or Dortmund.
Leicester interested in Keita.
Leicester as well. Yeah, Leicester as well.
They won't send him.
I think realistically, you're out of your league when you say the Reals and the Barcelonas are interested. But Leicester are not a bad team, and they could well finish ahead of us. So it's not a big drop down. The other thing I was going to say is that Camavinga got...
He
got connected to us again, this week. And he's 18-year-old. I could see him coming as well.
Yeah, and they need to sell as well, don't they? Because he's not going to sign a new contract. So, yeah, that's a very gettable player. So, okay. Well, guys, it's been
score
a pleasure.
Score predictions.
I don't want to, I'm scared. Okay. You see, Suki, you can predict. You can predict. And everyone else, if you want to, you can as well. Go on, Suki.
Well, I'm only doing it if everybody's doing it.
Do it first.
Okay, no, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll do 2-0. 2-0 to Liverpool.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. Let's end the show.
Okay.
Cass,
yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Nah, go on, Cass. Come on, Cass. Go on. Go on.
Well, basically what you're asking me is, do I want to end the season for you now or keep it going, prolonged agony for a few more games?
I'm going to hold you to your prediction as well.
Yeah.
See, if, and he's going to say we're going to win and then moan about it.
Here, Ross Edry.
Shut up. I think it's going to be... I think I'll go 1-0 for us.
Wait. Okay, Maria?
2-1 to us.
Wait. Andre?
I think 2-0 as well.
Wait.
What about you?
I'm going to go 3-1 Liverpool because...
Oh, okay.
Nah, because, you know, they're open so we can actually score.
Constantly banging in goals.
Yeah, they might score an own goal. Who knows, you know? Anyway, but anyway, on that really cheery note, five of us predicted wins, so we haven't fallen out of love with you yet, Liverpool. So please don't let us down. Please beat Leeds. Please get top four so we can actually sign some of these dream players that we want and start again next season on a high. But thank you all, guys. Thank you for everyone today. And have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.